Welcome. This is the podcast of Care Austria with Andrea Barstorff-Hager.
Welcome to Care in Action. This is the podcast of Care Austria. Today we have really a special guest and a special location. It's the first podcast that Care Austria produces in Bangkok, the capital of Thailand. And my guest today is Jean-Pierre Chang. He is the owner and CEO of Sphere Agency, an advertising agency here in Bangkok. Welcome to the Care Podcast, Jean-Pierre.
Thank you. Thank you to inviting me in this podcast. It's a first for me. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's good to hear that this is your first podcast as the CEO of an advertising agency, because in Europe everybody's very much in podcasting, and it started all with the global pandemic. And as a matter of fact, Jean-Pierre, also our cooperation started, I think, one and a half years before the pandemic hit. Right?
Yes, correct.
And before we go a little bit more into the details, would you be so kind to introduce yourself a little bit, because you have a very interesting life story somehow.
So I don't know if it's really interesting, but I think that it will be like very like, I think, standard. My dad is Cambodian, and he was like children of war, so he was running out from the Cambodian war, which was happening like 40 years ago, I think, something like that. Mm-hmm. And my mom, and so he was running out from Cambodia, and he come to meet my mom in Thailand. Every Cambodian run to Thailand, most of them. And this way he met my mom. And since my dad was having the chance to come to France after, because of the French colonial thing, and so he bring my mom to France, and they start to work together. But since they are like immigrants. Mm-hmm. Immigrants at that time don't get that much job or something like that, and they have no education and everything like that. Even my mom doesn't really have education, so they were selling like this kind of like Asian food, spring rolls, on the street. And until one day they can get enough saving and everything to open their own restaurant and everything like that. So technically, I didn't have like a poor childhood.
You were born in France then?
I was born in France. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was born in France, in the south of France. But at the moment I was born, my parents were already owning one restaurant, and they were working in the restaurant and everything like that. The only thing is that I didn't like what I love about Care Austria, Care Vienna, and the help that they make. That maybe we're gonna talk about after, is more like helping the children here, the children in Bangkok, or the outskirts of Bangkok, to make them have a smile or make them happier. Why I talk about this is really because what I was talking about my childhood is, even if my parents was not poor at that time that I was born, but they are still hard worker. Mm-hmm. Extremely hard worker. So on my side, I also start to work at a very early age. Like I started to work at the age of 8 or 9, something like that.
So you helped in the restaurant.
Yes.
In the south of France.
It's illegal, I know. but yeah.
But for family owned business, that's not uncommon.
Yes, it's not uncommon, correct. So I was like cleaning the dish, washing the dish in the restaurant at the age of 8, 9, and everything like that. So all the weekends, all the nights and everything like that. Mm-hmm. After school, this is mostly what I do, like restaurant, kitchen. And after, when I get older, like I can show my face, because it's less illegal, I was in front of the restaurant like a waiter and everything like that. I was working most of my childhood. So this is why I'm like this kind of like birthday party and everything, this is not something I get before. Mm-hmm. So this is why I really like to see some happy children, something like that.
Yeah. Sure, Pierre, it's very kind of you to share your childhood history mm-hmm. with us, because it is something that is very typical for the work of CARE. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when the war hit Cambodia, this is longer even than 40 years ago, we have a very appreciated colleague in Austria, and she fled with her family also from the war in Cambodia, mm-hmm. and they came to Austria, the whole family. Mm-hmm. And she is one of our top senior colleagues today. Mm-hmm. She grew up in Vienna. And so this is a common story. And CARE is dealing with refugee children all around the world. Yeah? And it really touched me when you told me first time when you visited us in Vienna a little bit about it, because it happens millions of times every year, and as soon as somebody shares with you a personal experience, then it gets real life. And you mentioned it already before, CARE is a global organization, as our listeners know, but CARE Austria has quite a long tradition in working together with CARE Thailand, mm-hmm. because here in Thailand, especially in the outskirts of the large cities, and largest city is Bangkok, you have lots of migrant workers coming in from Myanmar, coming in from Cambodia, and also from Laos. They are invited by Thailand, and they do the hard jobs in the fish factories, in food processing, yes. and the so-called construction, the dirty hard work, yes. which many wealthier people would not do themselves. Is that right?
That a lot of Thai people would not do themselves. So this is why they ask, they request Burmese people to come here, is because Thai people don't want to do this kind of job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's quite similar to European countries.
Exactly.
We have also
a lot of Africans,
migrant workers, mm-hmm. even from the south of Europe. Mm-hmm. To do these hard jobs. And when CARE Austria started getting engaged here, I had the opportunity to see the living conditions of the children, of these families, because they come all together, the kids and the parents, and normally, as far as I learned it, fathers and mothers have to work the whole day. Mm-hmm. Their income is to be supposed quite low, I assume.
Yes, very low.
Very low. And the children, they are at home, locked in when they are very small, or they sell something small in the street, or many of them even get victims of child trafficking and things like that. So this is why CARE Austria decided many years ago to support the so-called Migrant Children Learning Center, which is in Samutsakon, did I say it right?
Yes.
Correctly, which is in the outskirts of Bangkok. And the children there, they find a sort of second home and get some educational training. And Jean-Pierre, you and the Sphere Agency, you decided quite quickly to support us in communicating and talking about this very special project. Why did you do that? Which is a very generous thing to do.
Why did they do that? The first thing why we I always want to be able to help, especially children. I think that children are really they're children. They never do anything wrong, you know. We can help adults. There's a lot of adults who need some help, mm-hmm. right? I'm not here to get that, but there's some adults who have the choice. Who mm-hmm. have the choice to? Sorry to say that. You can cut if it's too hard. They have a choice to be homeless, or find a job in any factory or in the supermarket mm-hmm. or something. But no, they don't want to find a job in the supermarket because they think it's so low for them. So they prefer to be unemployed or something. And after we have to support them, after we have to help them, because for many years, etc. And they choose this way of life. But children, they don't have choice. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. Children don't have choice. they were born like this, and in this family they didn't ask for it, you know. And I don't have any issue against the parents. The parents do their best to support their children, but sometimes the best of their parents is not enough. Mm-hmm. And this is why we have to come and help, because again, children never do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's very true, and that's also quite a common phenomena around the globe, that many children, millions of them, they don't have any choice. And this is why they are in all our projects around the globe. Children, and especially little girls, but also boys, of course, we really pay attention to their needs and try to support them in a sustainable manner and way. So if we think now about Samutsakon, this is an outskirt of Bangkok, and the children need education and the children need our support, does it have, because we are, as a global organization, we were founded in the US more than 75 years ago, and we were founded to help the Europeans after World War II to survive. And even my grandparents told me long before I joined CARE about the CARE packages. Yeah? So CARE was founded to help the Europeans. So there is a long tradition in Europe and the US to help this charitable work. Is there such a tradition also existing in Thailand, Shapya? Do you know that? Is helping, supporting in an organized, professional manner, is that something that you would say is typical in an Asian country like Thailand, or
no?
Not so much.
Not so much. Frankly speaking, it's not. It's hard to say that, but Thai people or something that they don't. Yeah, from what I see, I was born in France, but I was staying in Thailand for only like 7 years or 8 years. And from what I see, since I have the Western culture, and also from my parents, the Asian culture, the Southeast Asian culture, I think that the Western people have a better sense of help people more than what I see here, what I see in Thailand, to tell the truth. The only way that most of these two things that they help, that the Thai people will help, is bad to say, but the number one is they give a lot of money to the temple.
Okay.
These, they really give a lot. I'm against that. But it's
okay,
religion.
But it's...
It's religion.
Yeah. To donate out of religious motivation is a reason to donate for many people.
But the thing is that if they give that much to the religion, why not they cannot share that amount also for others? Mm-hmm. Why not share to some organization who helps some children and everything like that? Mm-hmm. On the Asian culture, why most of the time they donate a lot of money, and really, really a lot. Sometimes it's done by millions of dollars to the religion. It's because when they give, they will pray and ask back money. You know? So they give $1 million, for example, and they pray, please make me richer. You know. But okay, I don't have anything against that. At the end it's their money. They can do whatever they want with it.
Absolutely.
But I don't ask $1 million to the organization, but why not at least 10% of what you give to the to the religion? Why not you can give 10% to organization like CARE to help people, you know? You can help the monk, it's fine, but you can, there's also a lot of other people that you can help. So this is the main thing in Southeast Asia, is that people, they donate money a lot, but not to help children, for example.
So this is not an existing tradition, let's put it like that.
Yes, it's not. In fact, even my dad, he donated a lot, but he asked for money in, he asked for money back when he donated money to the temple.
Okay.
And the second thing after is like the people who donate will be mostly like corporates.
Mm-hmm.
Corporates donate a lot also, but it's mostly to tell you the truth, because as an advertising agency, I work with a lot of corporates. Their CSR activity and everything is mostly marketing.
Okay, but if it reaches also the people who need it, then it is the so-called win-win situation, that they market what they are doing. In Europe, we have the saying, doing good and talking about it.
Yes, yes, if you do more good than talking about it, I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
I will get in trouble with my customer, but you can cut it out if you need to. But in a lot of corporate I work with, they donate, for example, let's say they donate $10,000 to the organization, but they put $100,000 in the communication.
Mm-hmm. I see.
You know, so they communicate more than what they donate.
And
they spend more money on the communication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I give $10,000, mm-hmm, but they input $100,000 on the communication to show that I give $10,000. So it's totally, if it's reverse, I will not say anything about it. I understand that when the corporate donates something, they need to communicate, hey, I make a good action. I totally understand that. But if they reverse the amount, it doesn't make sense at the end.
But what you're sharing with us is also stressing the importance of communication that we see nowadays. This has changed radically, I would say. It is changing every 2 years.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's becoming faster and faster, and communication is getting more and more expensive because you have so many channels that you can communicate through, and we are so spoiled in our approach, what we want to see and what we want to hear,
mm-hmm,
that it is not rocket science that the cost of communication really gets up. So us as a non-governmental organization, and we are also a global player as CARE with a long-standing tradition, communication issues are key, and we are really dependent on people like you who share with us their knowledge and provide their advice as their donation to our charitable work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, an NGO could not spend hundreds and thousands of dollars or euro on communication and advertising work, mm-hmm, at the same time. If you don't have any good advice in advertising and communication as a global organization, then your brand is weak, people don't know you, and you are not very attractive for potential donors.
But to tell you the one thing, this is why I work with you. This is why I work with you, because you don't spend $100,000 or $1 million in the communication, mm-hmm, and this is something you tell me before. I will not say the name, but I have other organizations that contact me before for me to help them, to work with them and something like that. And they were proposing me huge amount of money, and this is something I don't like about. It's like, your organization, you should spend your money better than this. You should spend your money to help people. I understand that communication is important, like you say, and it's true, it's really important. Is if you don't have communication, people don't know you, people will not donate to you. But you need to keep a percentage of the donation that you receive, and not overspend, mm-hmm, on the communication.
So maybe this is the right time to share with you, and everybody who is interested can have a look at our annual report, which is published on our website. So CARE Austria on average spends 7-8% of a donation for administrative plus communication cost. This is only possible because we have supporters like Jean-Pierre Zhang and his Sphere agency who give us good advice for free. And this should also encourage other corporates and companies to get in touch with CARE globally and see where are the points of cooperation, where could we join forces really to create impact for those who need it most. And we had the chance to go the second time to visit the children of Samutsakon yesterday. And maybe you can share some of the impressions that you got about this wild group of children. We saw of about 120, 130 children between 4 and 16 years yesterday.
I was my impression is that I was happy. I was really, really happy. And but my impression will be more personal impression and more because of my past few days of work, who was extremely hectic and a lot of pressure as an advertising agency. But when I arrive in the learning center, I really, not only myself, I think, but my whole team, my whole production team was extremely happy to see happy children. And I think that this is the most important that we have to offer to the children. Like I said before, children never do anything wrong for me. They can fight, they can even bully anything. The children play, but they never make big mistake or something. They cannot, because they are children. But what we have to give to the children is happiness, or at least good moment when they are children. And this is what I see in Sumatacon yesterday. I saw they have hard condition. They have very hard condition. They live in a very small place for sure. Their parents almost never here. Their parents don't work like the 9 to 5 like mm-hmm. like what the office people do.
Harsh working conditions.
They start to work at 6 a.m. to go back in their small place in their mm-hmm. small room at what 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. They sleep only a few hours and they go back like this all every day. Most of the time, I'm pretty sure 7 days 7. They don't even have like a resting day. They don't have days off, and they let the children in the middle of the room, like you were saying, but for the children to have a place to be able to learn, but also to escape, to have a friend, to laugh and to dance, like what I saw yesterday is. How can I say? It's
touching.
Yeah, right? It's touching. Exactly, mm-hmm. It's really touching.
Mm-hmm. And it gives us back happiness as well.
Yes, it's mm-hmm. It give us back a lot of happiness, because as an adult, the work that we get a lot of pressure, of mm-hmm. course, all of us. But be able to interact and to laugh with children who are happy. And they're happy even with the condition that is much worse than you or me. it's made me think back. The pressure that I got is fine. It's nothing much compared to what they get. Yeah.
Plus that they get a better starting level for their later lives, because they get education, they get some options, chances, and they can also develop their creative abilities, which is key. It's not only about reading and learning, it's also about friendship,
yes,
playing, dancing, yes, and enjoying life, even if the general living condition for the migrant children and migrant families are super harsh. Yes. Not only in Thailand, in yes. many countries.
And like what you say, even what you say, for example, when you're talking about like friendship and everything like that, for them to have friends is help them in, I think, a lot in the future. If they have friends, like you stay in the room, you don't meet anyone, you don't see opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have friend and you're outside and you can laugh, you can start to see opportunity. Even when you're children, you can start to see like what I want to do, you know, or what I like. Because I don't think that, I'm not sure, I'm not them, but I don't think that when you're in a room or locked in a room, you can think about your future,
mm-hmm.
or you can think about what I like or what I want to do or what I want mm-hmm. to be. But if they have the opportunity to see that, or to even just think, I don't know if they have, listen to the music, you know, listen to the music. Listening to the music bring us a lot of idea at the end,
mm-hmm.
and start to make us think about our future,
mm-hmm. and stimulates our creativity,
yes,
and our self consciousness,
yes,
of being human and what it means. This was some insight what the work of care also can mean. Because Jean-Pierre, he was willing to share his impressions. He is a Thai French entrepreneur. He's living here in Bangkok for many years now. He's leading a very creative agency, and he is supporting care. And what I learned from him is that he is one of the people around the globe who are happy to help and happy to support large organizations like CARE if time is available for that. So CARE is very thankful for all the support you provided. CARE is also really enjoying the debating and the advice that you provide to us. And we hope that you will stay part of our global network also in the future, Jean-Pierre.
Oh, I hope so too.
All the best for your work.
Thank you.
And thanks for being our guest today, CARE Austria from Bangkok. This was our podcast, CARE in Action. And thanks a lot for hosting us today here in Bangkok.
Thank you so much, Andrea. And yes, I would love to continue to to support on the way I can care. Like I say, there's a lot of I got a lot of demand from other organizations also, but I never partner with them because I don't like the way they manage the money. I don't like the way they manage the donation. But it's something I see with CARE Austria and CARE Vienna that you guys manage the donation with very high transparency.
That's very true.
And that is the most important for me, because my team and myself as an advertising agency, we're extremely busy, but we always try to find time to do CSR the way we can. Most of the time, since we're animal lovers here, we do a lot of donation for the elephant, because during the pandemic, elephants don't have food anymore, so we have to buy them a lot of bananas. So we support them a lot like this, but because they're animals also, never wrong. Never. Yeah. Animals, children, this kind of category for me is a category that we are always happy to help. And like I said, just to come back, CARE's Austria, CARE Vienna is high transparency, and this is why we are always, Sphere Agency, we be always happy to support you if you have anything that you want us to support. It can be in Thailand or other countries, it's fine, it doesn't change much for us.
Thank you. This is really highly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This was CARE in Action, the podcast of CARE Austria with Andrea Barstorff-Hager. For further information, go to care.at.